This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. You're listening to the best of
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents...
Hello, Volkswagen.
I am joined by the trans activist and author. It's Miss Charlie Craggs.
I think it's a really interesting point you said about most people haven't knowingly met a trans person.
Course,
you know,
yeah.
I feel like most people probably have met a trans person.
Oh, yeah, you probably sat next to someone on the tube,
and had no
in
idea.
The toilet. Because that's the thing, you know, with this toilet thing now, it's like trans people shouldn't be using toilet, the women's toilet.
They have the whole time.
Centuries. Because we've been around since the ancient Egyptian times, before that even. I'm not very good at history, but we've been around since like the days. There's like Greek statues of trans bodies, because third gender is a real thing.
Yeah.
It's like it's a scientific thing. Like there's nuances of gender, and we've been around forever, so we've been using those toilets with you the whole time, baby. So you just didn't know because we're so pretty.
Every Wednesday, Callum McSwiggan from 6 PM, FUBAR Radio.
Today I am joined by a new gorgeous person. I am joined by the stunning Venus Libido.
Oh my god, gorgeous and stunning. Thank you.
Both of those things.
My god.
I don't know why I called you a new person. Like you've just birthed into the world or something.
Oh my gosh, it's so weird when people say I have an Instagram presence because I don't look at it in that way. And
okay.
I don't think of myself in a way as being influential or someone that people admire. I don't know, it's just a weird concept to me. But yeah, I just started an Instagram page, I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago now. And I just started drawing. I was in a really dark place and I just started drawing all of these things but trying to make it funny.
Yeah, okay.
And people just really liked it and it's just kind of growing from there. I don't know how it's happened, but it's happened.
That's really nice to hear. Obviously, it's not good that you were in a dark place, but it's lovely to hear that something so bright and positive came of it. Your work is also very colourful and very appealing. And is controversial the right word? I don't want to say controversial.
I would say controversial.
I don't think it should be
not
controversial,
nowadays,
though.
I don't think it is, but maybe like when I started it was a bit controversial, but now people are talking about the subjects more. I wouldn't say it is controversial
because you talk a lot about kind of like body positivity and sex and
butt hair.
Go straight in, right to the point there.
That was my most popular drawing. Was
I did not. I'm going to be honest. I did not see the butt hair picture.
Okay,
walk me through the butt hair picture.
I don't know if you get this. I don't know if guys get this, but girls definitely get it who have got long hair. Where like you get out the shower and then like an hour later or something, you've got like lots of butt hair. So like you can feel it. You can just feel the hair between your butt cheeks.
But why after the shower?
Because
I'm confused.
When you're washing your hair and your hair comes out, it slides down your back into your butt crack.
Oh, so it's not like hair growing out of your ass.
No,
it's hair that's come from your hair. And it's found its way
to your butt crack.
I can't. I'm going to be honest. It's not something I've ever had.
You're going to do it when you get out of the shower next. You're going to check your butt.
I feel like I'm going to start finding hair in my butt.
It's probably a dangerous road to go down.
I found a lot of glitter in my ass before.
You've got glitter on your face now.
Are you joking? Do I actually?
Bit of glitter here,
I haven't had glitter on since Saturday. It just gets everywhere, doesn't it? But I do find myself finding a bit of glitter in my asshole or like caught in my foreskin
it gets everywhere.
And I guess
hair?
It's the same kind of thing with the butt hair. Yeah. But how did you illustrate that?
It's just a girl who's got out of the shower and she's literally just pulling hair out of her butt and she's got like a massive clump of it in her hand. The thing with my work that I love the most is I'll draw something that no one else is really talking about, like butt hair, and then I'll get so many comments from people going, oh my god, I thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel really happy because it's like I've done something that made someone not feel so like shameful about that certain thing. So yeah, that's why.
Well, I think that's the how you become successful in anything really is becoming relatable.
Yeah.
And I think especially when it's those kind of things that people do sometimes feel a little bit embarrassed about.
Yeah.
And for the first time that light switch goes on and you go, oh my god, wait, everyone does this weird thing that I do.
Yeah.
And it just makes us all feel a little bit more normal because we don't talk about our bodies enough. We don't talk about sex enough and we end up all being a little bit repressed and afraid to talk about things. So I think you're helping, you know, it might sound silly, oh, we're just talking about butt hair, but you're breaking down taboos.
Out on really interesting conversations.
Yeah,
100%. Like, do you know what I mean?
100%.
I think like if someone goes, oh my god, did you see this drawing? This is really funny, let's talk about it. And it's like something that they wouldn't have spoken about if they hadn't seen someone else talk about it, like butt hair or looking at your vagina.
Totally.
Or like little things that we hide in our bedrooms.
Well, I sometimes think we're all weirdos and we should celebrate our weirdness.
I just think the human body is incredibly interesting. The other day I was thinking about the corners of our mouths.
Okay.
I don't know, I got really obsessed. I don't know what was happening. I was looking at a guy eating something and I was like, it's so weird that we have corners to our mouths. Like, why is it not just like a round Why is it not just rap? I don't know.
You sound high. I'm not going to lie. You sound really high. It's really weird that we have, you know, like corners to our mouths. I'm with you though. No, I'm laughing at you, but I shouldn't be because I'm actually on board.
But these are the things like I think and I'm like, okay, I need to write that down because that's weird. Do you know what I mean?
So can we expect like an Instagram post about corners of mouths soon?
Yeah, okay.
Is that coming?
I would definitely do that.
For anyone listening right now, where can they find you on Instagram, by the way, if they want to go and see the butt hair picture, which I will be going to check later because I'm intrigued.
Have it as your screensaver. You can find me at Venus Libido, and libido is libido.
Amazing, and everyone should definitely go check you out. But it's not just Instagram, and it's not just illustrations. Yeah. I think you're branching out and doing loads of different things. Yeah. And we were speaking just very briefly before the show about your YouTube series.
New.
Let's talk about it because I watched an episode and I'm instantly in love with you. So tell us about why you decided to do it.
My new show is called Private Part, and it's a sex show about relationships and sex, and it's about talking about things that people aren't talking about. So I have lots of guests.
It's really great because, you know, it does provide that space where people can get answers to things. But the last thing you want to do, you know, it's not appropriate or respectful to go on a first date with a trans person and start, you know, asking them very personal and intimate questions about themselves and their body. Like, that's not okay.
No, exactly.
But if somebody's putting themselves out there and saying, hey, let's discuss this, and that's great. So I think a platform like that, which opens up the possibilities of those conversations. Yeah. Can you like just take it to schools and just do it in front of kids?
I'd love to make a more PG version.
Yes, I was about to say, maybe slightly more PG.
Maybe it doesn't have loads of dildos in.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit much. No, but I do think it's really, really cool. And I also love that you're not afraid, you know, talking about dildos and fuck dolls. I think it's amazing that you're not afraid to like talk about the controversial and kind of ask the questions. That's where the most interesting conversations come, when people feel that kind of, not discomfort, but when people push people out of their comfort zone.
That is Orgasm Day.
It is. It's National Orgasm Day. Hooray.
Woo!
I hope everyone listening is celebrating by treating themselves in whatever capacity they wish to.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
Ironics in the studio.
Yo, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm very well, you know.
I found it really poignant when you said about, I think it was about buying a necklace or...
I was spending money, but not like how to spend it now.
Like Gucci.
Yeah, all for the gram.
I'd rather spend it on food.
Yeah, true.
I'm
a big foodie.
Yeah. Are you a cook? Do you cook?
I'm getting there. I'm learning how to...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm on like my third or fourth meal that I can actually...
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I started off with like a spag bol.
Can I just tell you, if you can smash a fucking spaghetti bol, you can smash life.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Natalie Shea's here.
Hello.
How are you, babes?
I'm good.
Wearing a fucking gorgeous red jumpsuit. She's got a corduroy red jumpsuit on. She's vibing. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, I'm feeling good today. It's a good day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that. So you trained as a guitarist.
I did.
From the age of 5.
Yeah.
I didn't even know 5-year-olds could pick up a fucking guitar.
It was more
guitar.
Like, so I went to school and they were like, what instrument do you want to learn? So I started classical guitar. So I've been learning that.
I bet the guitar was the same size as you when you started
playing.
Yeah,
it was. And I've had like 4 because most people just get one and they learn on that. But like, I've had to have all the sizes. And there's loads of sizes, like quarter size, half size, then like a female size. And then
I was just imagining you with a
No, they have different sizes, but most people don't know that because most people don't start when they're 5.
No. Yeah. So you're pretty proficient on the guitar?
Yeah, I'm okay. Like, I'm not the best in the world. But
oh my God, why not? You've been doing it since you were 5.
I've just got distracted.
By singing,
yeah.
Do you use a guitar in a live show?
I do, yeah. But acoustic or electric, but not like classical. I don't play that. So tell me
what a classical guitar is.
Oh man,
that's,
so...
That's, you know, specifically what you started on.
Yeah, it's a type of guitar and a type of music. So, you know,
is it like a sitar?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's 6 strings, but the top 3 are plastics. You know, like the nylon string guitars?
Yeah.
They're classical guitars, like Spanish guitar. There you go. So it's like Spanish guitar, so like you'd play like classical music, but like Mozart, but on a guitar, and it's like a guitar arrangement. That's what it is.
Sick.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Did you just play like Mozart on...
Yeah, like all the stuff.
On a guitar?
On a guitar. But they write arrangements for classical guitar. But obviously some like Spanish guitar is written for the classical guitar.
Do you ever just sit down and jam some classical music in your bedroom?
I don't so much. I probably should.
I just
feel like it's kind of taking a back seat because obviously I'm doing all this indie pop stuff. So.
Well, listen, there's always a room for a bit of classical guitar.
Yeah.
Does that mean you can play normal guitar?
I can, yeah. But I haven't been playing that as long. But like, I feel like because I've been playing guitar that long, I'm good at that. Like,
yeah. You've got to be. I mean,
I can play guitar well.
And you can play, if anything, it's less strings, so it should be easier,
exactly.
Right? What do you prefer, electric or acoustic guitar? Ooh.
So I'm better at acoustic, but electric's way more fun, like, when you're live. But I wouldn't play electric if I wasn't full band.
Which is interesting, because electric is easier than acoustic, isn't it?
I feel like it is, but there's a lot you have to learn, like, a lot with pedals and stuff. Like, I haven't quite got my head around creating sounds and stuff. Like, that's an art in itself, like, using pedals. Yeah. But the actual playing is just playing the chords. But then, like, the whole sort of editing the sound live is something else. Like,
mind blowing.
Yeah, I can't do that yet.
You went to Brit School.
I did.
And we were just talking about it. There's a lot of artists that went there. Great school to go to.
Yeah.
Do you ever work with any of the people that you went to Brit School? Are you still in touch with them?
Yeah, so, like, in my band, my bassist was a girl from Brit that I went to. Her name's Kitty. She's brilliant. My music video is made by a guy I met at Brit.
Great.
Most of the people in the video are people I met at Brit. Like, they
you're
pop
repping.
Up. You meet them everywhere. Like, I keep playing gigs with people from, like, my school that I didn't arrange it. Like, we just got put on the same thing. Like, you meet Brit people everywhere, and it's amazing. It's a really quite a special thing.
Yeah. And did you enjoy being there?
I did 4 years, like most people do too, but I went for 14. Yeah, they're both, like, the 2 years, the GCSE period and then the A-level period, were very different experiences because of a whole different set of people and stuff. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good. I can't imagine having gone anywhere else.
You kind of learn about things that you don't expect, like management and stuff. Like,
yeah.
The
people go like,
side.
Oh, so did you just sing all day? I'm like, we sung like 2% of the time.
Yeah, like, literally. Yeah, because a lot of people, like you say, a lot of people who are there, they aren't just singers.
No.
Tell me, when's your next live gig? When can we
oh
next
my
come
God.
See you?
So I've got a headline show in London. You should come.
Oh my God,
it's free.
Exciting.
On the 16th of August at Notting Hill Arts Club, it's to launch the new song. So I haven't actually played this song live yet, mainly because I'm waiting for the launch and also because I don't know how to play it live yet. But yeah, so that is the launch party for people like me. So.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
What's the plan for it? Have you got anything, like, what do you do for a launch party for your singles? Like, is there
headline shows a lot of stress, but this one's a little less stress because it's kind of like it's a show that I'm headlining rather than it's my show. So it's a bit more chill. There's a lot of people going. It'll be really nice. Like, it's free and it's more just like make
What's
a big
the show
deal.
Is it someone else? So it's someone else is putting it on.
Yeah, it's from Close Up. They do like a lot of indie shows in London.
I know what you mean though. That's so much easier. Yeah, it's like they kind of take some of the stress off.
Honestly,
you.
I did my first headline in February at Thousand Island, and it was probably the most stressful thing I've ever done in my life. Yeah.
Why? Because of having to get people down.
You have
or...
to think of everything. Like, you have to think down to, oh, what music's going to play, like, between the songs, and what song am I going to walk onto, and have I got a card reader to sell my merch, and what microphone am I going to use, and have we sold the sound engineer, like, what sound I want. Like, it's such,
have I got a card
thing.
Reader to buy my... That's
literally,
amazing.
It's like, so many things. But it was great, but it was a lot of stress.
You know buskers have card readers now?
Yeah.
Fucking mind
blowing. It's intense, isn't it?
Mind blowing. I walked past and just fucking gave a guy 2 quid the other day because I was like, well, why not?
Why not? Yeah.
I didn't even listen to
they're
his
great.
Music.
I've got the same sort of thing, the little iZettle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Sick.
Someone was like the other day, they're like, I really want a CD, but I don't have any cash. I'm like, well,
oh,
I've got a card
don't
reader.
Don't you worry. So, what song do you walk out to? Is that, you mean one of your songs?
No, not one of mine.
Oh,
like another
God.
Song. So, for the headline, I think I walked.
Tell me what
I walked
you
on to. They played Heaven is a Place on Earth, and then I walked on to a Scissor Sisters track.
Oh my God, great.
I can't remember which one. The one's like, don't feel like dancing. Yeah, I walked on
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, the main one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Can I in the moon?
Yeah, the one, no one knows the words.
Great one. Yeah. I love Scissor Sisters. Do you know what? It took me ages to think about the fact that why they're called Scissor Sisters.
Why
and
are
what
they called them?
Well, no, just what Scissor Sisters means.
What does it mean?
Lesbians.
Does it?
Scissor Sisters are lesbians.
I always thought Seven Sisters, the tube stop, was the same as Scissor Sisters, like, for my whole life.
Oh my God, amazing.
It's not.
It's definitely different.
Definitely not.
It's different.
Same
way
as I thought Snoop Dogg and Snoopy the dog were the same thing growing up.
Aww.
For years, honestly. People be like, oh, that song by Snoop Dogg. I'm like, oh yeah, like the little dog. Literally.
Oh, babe. And now she's in the music industry. Imagine if you went full circle and did a collab with Snoop Dogg.
Oh,
that
would
now.
Be amazing.
Either of them.
Snoopy the dog would be the cover of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Fubar Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by John Niven.
When you've got people paying for tickets, where's that money going? Where's all that going?
Well, tickets are quite expensive for 20,
right.
20 quid, but that includes the hardback, which is like, you know,
oh, yeah, 16, so sure. 16
like, they're only paying a few quid to actually hear my drivel.
I remember about 20 years ago now, just going into the Waterstones to have a look around, and it was obviously at a time that Mad Frankie Fraser, the gangster, was well, doing a signing in Waterstones. So he'd be walking around looking furious, and like he was about to like tear someone's throat out, just sat by himself tapping his pen on the table.
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club
from 12 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James.
What a disappointing end to that sentence.
No.
What, the word one of doing a lot of the heavy
one
lifting in that phrase.
One of my favourite. Well, you know,
an enormous amount of work.
Come, what do you want from me? You're a comedian, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what you identify as?
Yeah, why not? Sure.
Yeah, good.
It's all a bit, I find that a bit embarrassing, actually.
Or being a comedian?
Yeah.
Or referring it's to yourself terrible. As a comedian?
All of it. The whole concept and act of stand-up is the most embarrassing thing in the world.
Sure.
And yeah. It makes me feel sick all the time. And also just like, yeah, if you have to say, oh, I'm a comedian, is maybe the worst thing possible.
It's awful.
Yeah.
So if you go to a wedding or something and they say, oh, what are you doing? Or who are you? There's firstly the indignity of the fact that they haven't recognised you.
Yeah.
And then it goes into, oh, I'm a comedian. I always say, in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. And then, have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi. And I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
You go, and then, oh, I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi. He goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
and then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then, and then the taxi driver said, you know what they say? Satire is the lowest form of wit. I was like, well, no, they don't say that. They say sarcasm is the lowest
sarcasm
form of wit. But even if they did say satire is the lowest form of wit, what a thing to say to me. Yeah. After I've just told you that my job is to write satire. You know what I say? Taxi drivers are pricks.
This guy's before your time, but Ken Dodd, the comedian. Ooh. Ken Dodd was on Pebble Mill, a show before your time. And he said, you know what? I find sarcasm is the lowest form of wit. And I was at home thinking, I'm pretty sure a tickle stick is the lowest form of wit. There, Ken.
Have you seen American Pie, mate?
The Naked Mile. It's really awkward having to tell a stranger what you do for a living.
Yeah. I bet you're just thinking, God, I wish you'd just say something racist.
Hey, why are you getting on it? For the listeners at home, there's Nick's seventh red stripe in 10 minutes.
No. It's I'm mixing it up this week. I'm having a Sun Exotic sparkling drink.
Is that a Caribbean drink?
It's sort of a Caribbean drink. It's not a Caribbean Crush.
No.
And it's not a Lilt. This one is pineapple and coconut.
Got to say, huge fan of the word Caribbean being pronounced like that.
Yeah. Caribbean. Yeah.
Caribbean. I love it. Mate. I always do that. People normally call me out on it.
The first person I heard say Caribbean.
Go on.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Exactly. And I can see why he's so influenced.
Yeah.
Look what he did.
Now tell me, Nick, does that say it's 59p or 39p?
59p, mate.
Is it a multi-pack can not to be sold individually? That is being sold individually?
No, it's great value.
Oh, it's great value, 59p. Fair play.
Mm-hmm. It's meant to be 59p. All by
is
itself.
It nice?
It's actually a delicious.
Oh, good.
It's that coconut flavour that undercuts it that makes you feel like you're drinking Malibu.
Oh,
but it's lovely stuff.
Maybe it's a way, if you're an alcoholic that purely focuses on Jamaican white rum.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you just want, you're an alcoholic, but you're also addicted to the tropical taste.
You're trying to wean yourself off.
Yeah.
Maybe Sun Exotic is the one to get you because it tastes exactly like Malibu and pineapple.
Lovely.
Without any of the side effects.
sure.
Okay, good. So you're doing Edinburgh, are you?
Yeah.
Were you there last year?
No. Best year of my life.
I didn't go last year.
The best year of my goddamn life.
It was incredible.
It was amazing.
What did you do with your year?
I watched every single minute of the World Cup.
Yeah.
I just sat around doing that. That was basically it. I went to France for 2 weeks and I was in France for the World Cup final. That was pretty special.
Were you in France when the awards got announced, the Edinburgh Awards got announced?
No.
I was in Sri Lanka when the Edinburgh Awards got announced, and I still don't know who won.
Oh, really? Are you trying not to spoil it for yourself? Are you catching up?
No, it's just... Well,
what are you up to?
1993.
I've actually made up for Stephen Fry, then.
Honestly, mate, it dips, but then it comes back.
Really? It was...
Stick with it to the end, because there's a big twist. Women start winning it.
What?
It's mental, huge
God,
twist.
You're kidding me. We should get some of them on. It was really good. It was really good not having anything to do with it last year.
Oh, it was the best. And also just like it's not just August. It's all about June and July as well. That was the main thing for me. I don't mind August so much. It's more just the build up.
I thought the World Cup was over by August, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it ended in sort of like mid to late July.
So my friend Pat Bircher came over from Canada and we watched the World Cup. And I'm not really into football, but I really got into it.
Yeah, did you get into the Women's World Cup, Nick?
I'm barely into football.
Oh, mate, you got into the men's?
I didn't actually. I didn't even qualify.
There we go.
So, why would you come on my show and accuse me of being a sexist?
I didn't accuse anyone of anything.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that if you listen back to this, that's exactly what you've just done. You've tried to create an awkward circumstance.
Yeah, but I never will listen back to this. So that doesn't matter.
What? So don't go and see Reese. Where is your show on?
The Pleasance Courtyard, the Pleasance Theatre.
Oh, I did a late night additional show in 2011 there.
And how was it?
One of the worst gigs I've ever had.
I can't wait to get
I was
there.
At that gig.
It was at midnight.
Extra show? Because your shows are sold out.
Because I got nominated and then my shows all sold out.
Yeah.
And then the day I didn't win.
You had that show
I
in
had
the diary.
The midnight show. And there were drunk people in the
we were queuing to get in and there was a guy in front of me having a piss in the queue.
On the wall
of
the Pleasance.
Yeah. And I remember going.
Pissing in the street.
And I remember thinking, it's an arts festival. There's a bloke in front of me having a piss.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
This is the busiest little studio in the land today.
We've got the absolutely gorgeous Love Island star, Jordan Rianne.
Hi. Jordan Rianne. She's in the house.
Well, I've just seen your phone ringing with a certain name on it.
What is the name?
Danny. What's going on now?
We are together.
Are you an official couple? Were you upset that Danny contacted some of the exes from the show?
No.
Gosh, I wish I was like you. Every Thursday at 6 PM on FUBAR Radio. She's come all the way from Love Island. She's out of the villa. It's the gorgeous Joanna Schmundes. I got it right. How are you, Joanna?
Yeah, I'm really good. Really excited. It's my first time doing this, so.
What was it like actually being in that villa? Because there are rows. It seems to go, I don't know, is it like a pressure cooker?
It's so surreal. It's a really weird environment because the longer you're there, you start to believe that this is your life. There's no getting out of here. You're going to have kids in here. You're going to get married in here. It's really weird because it's all you see. You don't speak to your family. And sometimes I caught myself. I was like, I've not even thought about my mum.
Well, you had a little bit of controversy. I have to mention it briefly.
No, that's fine.
But, you know, when Michael confessed he still had feelings for Amber, now, how did that make you genuinely feel?
I think I was disappointed purely on the basis that I said to him so many times, do you have feelings for Amber? If you do, please crack on because I don't want to see people unhappy. I don't want to see someone unhappy with me if they want to be with someone else. So I kept repeating that to him and he was like, no, I don't. But then obviously when I left, it's probably one of them out of sight, out of mind sort of things that you work on. I'm not there, so this is my life. I'll make my. He definitely had feelings for Amber still, for sure. But you can't switch feelings on and off, can you?
I wonder if you regret that now because he got so much stick.
It's really hard coming out of the villa. I have texted him, you know, check on him, make sure he's okay. It's a difficult situation to be in, and I still do have feelings for him. You can't switch them off as well. So I want to make sure he's okay. He's dealing with everything fine, and he is. He's a strong one.
I know because he comes across as a bad boy, but we like the bad boys. That's the double, don't we?
Exactly. Us girls are attracted to the bad boys, aren't we? We find ourselves with them all the time.
I know. I wish it were different, but it's not.
I know.
How has it been as you walked out the villa? I mean, has it been everyone recognising you? Because your followers have gone up hugely.
I was just a psychology graduate. Then when I worked in recruitment, my followers were 3,500. That wasn't a lot. And then as soon as I come out, I was like, okay, right, I'm on this many followers. Wow. Okay, I'm getting these many messages. I'm getting fans like messaging me saying hello. And I want to reply to everyone. It's such a surreal experience. It's been amazing. I can't even explain it.
Now, and I've got to ask you, who did you want to win? I know, obviously, Amber won the show. Were you pleased for her?
Absolutely. I think everyone in their own right has the right to win. She went on a massive journey in the villa and she came out as a strong, powerful girl and she deserves to win, absolutely. She's found Greg and she really gets along with him. So that's, I'm happy for her. I think I was definitely rooting for Belle and Anton though because I love them two together.
Do you think Amber then in a way made the right choice choosing Greg? And because obviously Michael got elbowed.
If she felt that certain way at that time, then that's her right decision. Mm. I think she's right for choosing what she felt at that time. And, you know, she seems really happy and, you know, they're one together and Greg's a lovely, lovely boy. So, you know, I'm happy for her and I'm happy for Greg.
And I wanted just to ask you, because we're getting loads of tweets about this. I hope you don't mind. Is there anything still going on? Because I think you were caught kissing at the weekend. What happened with that, with Mr. Michael, if he's listening?
I think it's hard because you can't switch your feelings off. Yeah, we had a little peck, little kiss, you know, that's absolutely fine. Everyone does it. But I think with him, we don't know what's going on. We've got such busy lives. I barely even go on my phone, can't even talk to anyone because I'm just constantly busy. So, yeah, I don't know. I have no clue.
I feel love could be in the air. I've got a feeling. I hope so.
Oh, I hope so.
But when you're watching the show, as you say, it's only an hour. Did you feel you were edited well? Because I've spoken to a few of the people that have been in there and said, you know, they missed that bit. I didn't get portrayed the way I wanted to.
What I would have liked to have people have seen was, you know, me being, you know, friendly to Amber. Because I think people thought that I weren't friendly to her. But, you know, I did check up on her, made sure she was okay. But also my personality. I'm a big bubbly person all the time. And, like, I don't think you saw much of that. But again, you only see 60 minutes. And it's a reality show, so you've got to see the drama. I mean, me sitting there joking around is not really drama, is it?
Well, it's fun though, because you are a little bubbly personality. You're so petite as well, you're so pretty.
Well, do you know what? At the airport, a lady came up to me and she was like, oh my gosh, like, you look so, you're really small. And I went, oh, like, did I look tall on TV? And she went, yeah. And I went, I did my job then, that's fine.
TV does make you look bigger though, doesn't it?
That, no problem. Put me on TV more often, I'll look more taller.
They stretch you.
I love it.
They stretch you. But, I mean, how have you coped with that sort of trolling? Because
because I spoke with Danny and he was saying he got horrific death threats. His family have had to involve the police, and they do write nasty things on people. How have you handled that?
For me, I don't read tweets. I've deleted my Twitter. Well, my Twitter's still active, but I don't have the app. Also on Instagram, I don't really read DMs. I don't really read the comments because there's no point. If I go through my DMs, it's more I see if there's a positive one. I'll answer to a fan and say, thank you for your positivity. You know, thanks for the support. Just don't take it to heart, because at the end of the day, I think a lot of people DM you without thinking you're going to see it. But for me, it's genuinely being not to take it to heart, ignore it, get on with your life, keep doing what you're doing, and just be really confident in yourself.
That's such a wonderful way to deal with it. You know, you're young, this is new to you.
Yeah.
And to read some of the messages, you sometimes remember the nasty ones and not the positive ones.
I always say the boos are louder than the cheers, but you have to turn it around and say, actually, no, people supporting you should be louder than the negativity.
Yeah.
And we sometimes get caught up in looking at the negativities and not focusing on, you know, there's a fan supporting me there, I should thank that person.
It's really true. Yeah. Oh, that's really wonderful way of doing it. I love this girl. I love her.
Thank you.
I love you. Darling, well, you have possible love. You never know. You're Michael. I think it could happen. I think it still could happen.
Who knows?
Anton's mum, what was she like? She was hilarious.
She was. Do you know what? When I was in my dressing room at After Sun, I literally went, where's Anton's mum? I know she's here. Can I go see her, please? And literally, she was in the room opposite me. I walked in and she was like, oh my God, Joanna. We literally screamed at each other.
Did you?
I was like so excited to see each other.
And when you saw your mum and dad, I bet you were just, was it emotional in a way?
When I saw my dad, because I haven't seen my mum yet, but with my dad, literally, he's not an emotional person, and he cried when he saw me. When he saw me, I was like, Dad, I literally was like in bits. You know, I missed him, and he has been my rock in this journey, so yeah.
Well, you did so well, Joanna. I just adore you. You're on the biggest show in the planet.
I know.
But you came over so beautifully. I'm not just saying that because you're sitting next to me, but I mean it.
Oh, thank you so much.
And if I ever meet that Michael, let me tell you, I'll be bending him over my knee.
Tuesday Takeover with Josh from the Skins on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome. What's going on, everyone? My name is Josh from the Skints. Here is your Tuesday Takeover presenter on FUBAR Radio right now. Got some friends coming in, some guests, some jokes, some folks. We're going to have a good time. If you don't know about the Skints, that's my band. We are four punk rock kids that started a band a very, very long time ago, all the way back in 2007. And somehow, along this mad journey of life, it's become what we do. So here we are. Coming up. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got none other than Jamie Rodigan in the studio.
Oi, oi.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Thank you very much for coming on my first ever foray into radio DJing.
Yeah, man.
I know it's something that you're a dab hand at yourself, so we're in the hot seat. What's going on, bro? Man.
I'm good, bro. I'm good. Busy.
What you been up to in the last week or so?
Last weeks? Well, we saw each other on Sunday a couple of days ago and did the Standard Selections, the launch of a new night we're doing at the Standard Hotel in King's Cross. It was a Q&A and a little party with Becca D and Chris Peckins. And so, yeah, I've been doing that. Dropped a couple of singles as well. Did a remix of The Israelites for Desmond Dekker for Trojan Records, celebrating 50 years of that song. So great to be part of that project. And we did that as Crate Classics, myself and Aaron Horn. And we produced a song for Ayatosh as well called Reasons, which just dropped on Friday.
Wicked, man. Initially, what I wanted to ask you, if you could tell the people what, you know, you as a DJ, as a producer, music in general, if you could sort of share, you know, your early life experiences of that, you know, how you got into any of the music you're into, but obviously I know you as a serious dancehall guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know, Jamie's tastes are wide, but I've seen this guy bully up sets on an absolutely raggo dancehall one. So yeah, if you could get into that.
Yeah, man. I mean, music is obviously a big part of my family. My dad is David Rodigan, a DJ from, you know, 70s, you know, music is a big part of the family. My mom loved Rare Groove, so she's right up to speed with everything nowadays as well. And yeah, just listening to kind of like a lot of dancehall, a lot of reggae singers like Gregory, Dennis Brown, you know, like Sugar Minot, Studio One, going to like Dub Vendor, going to Jetstar every Sunday, and just being a part of, you know, the whole thing, the whole movement.
It's kind of a thing of where it's literally like, it's so normal to you that you can't even think of getting into it. Or was there a song, maybe as you were getting a little bit older, and that was sparking your own tastes that was kind of making you want to get into this thing rather than it just being so like normalized by the super musical environment yeah. that you grew up in?
I mean, I love like jungle. I used to listen to like, you know, Jungle Mania. I had all those CDs and I was kind of like, my brain was kind of switching on to that sound a bit as well.
But was, like, that, was that from like school? Or yeah, like that a was local like, thing?
Yeah, that was school. Like,
you grew up in West London,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I grew up in West London. But a song that actually kind of did it for me was like Pinchers, Bandolero. Which is like 92, 93.
All Gringos and Pasero.
That's the one, yeah. And it was just like, because it just was kind of different to your average dancehall song. It kind of like, you know, and what he was singing about. And his actual voice itself was so unique at that era. And, you know, Jammy's production. And so, yeah, definitely like a song like that was.
Wow.
Like,
how old were you when that came out?
I must have been like 8 or something.
Yeah, wow. That's wild, man. Yeah. All right. Jamie, thank you very much, sir. Well, if you want to stick around, have a drink with us. We've got some more friends coming in.
Yes.
It is 16:41 in the afternoon on FUBAR Radio. We're joined in the studio by none other than Holly Cook. Make noise.
Hello. Hiya.
So, Holly, you're someone that is very well-toured, well-seasoned on the road, and you're, for a reggae artist as well, or, you know, an artist in the reggae world, I should say, someone that's really not afraid to like tour and play outside the box. You were out with Kaiser Chiefs earlier this year. That's an absolute mazza. What can you tell us about that one?
I can tell you that I don't think that Kaiser Chiefs fans really understand Holly Cook, but you don't know until you try, and we did, and I'm sure that maybe, you know, we got about 5 people engaged every night to
I'm sure it was much more than that.
See, you know,
sorry, anyway. Kaiser Chiefs fan. The Kaiser Chiefs. We know that you were
nothing
definitely
against
loving
the Kaiser Chiefs. I consider them to be very open-minded people.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time, I will not lie. But, you know, you've done supports as well. Sometimes it is just a bit weird.
Completely, yeah.
Just, you know, when you try and engage. And some people are genuinely just not interested in you.
I think it's crazy as well. I think that, like, the bigger the band that you're opening up for, the harder it is as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, that's from
my experience. We've opened up for, like, a ton of, you know, small to medium sized bands with like hardcore followings and like had instant wins, and then you open up for someone that's like, you know, either in the charts or has a serious following, and it's like, we have come to see this band.
Yeah, exactly. Their fans,
we have come to see this band.
Who are you?
Do you think you are playing music like before my favorite band?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
What the fuck do y'all niggas really want? I went with realness instead, but all the real niggas I know either crazy or dead. Yeah, I drive the free key for these other kids to feel a lot, and niggas keep asking on whether this dude's for real or not. I'm not trying to come hard, I'm trying to come mean. That's why these older songs that I used to make I'd release free. What's the point of rap if you can't be yourself, huh? That's why I come first, like my cell phone. I'm a role model, I am not these other guys. I rap about my dick and talk about what girls is fly. I know it's dumb, that's the fucking reason I'm doing it. So why does everyone have a problem with talking stupid shit? Or is it real shit? Cause sometimes that stupid shit is real shit. Like when you make out with your best friend's baby sis. You know the one with short hair you used to babysit.
See, that's not even right.
You with a different girl like each and every fucking night, and kiss her while she's sleeping and sneak out the front to catch a flight. That's not life, dude. Just making up for fucks I missed in high school. I keep it wrapped until I meet the right one. Cause I ain't Mumford, I ain't trying to have sons. All I wanted was some more like Ashton. I ain't the coolest, but I know I got passion. I got passion.
hearing this? This shit is laughable. I ain't trying, I'm doing. These other rappers are foolish. I got fame, my A&R's a computer. Is there room in the game for a lame who rhymes? Who wears short shorts and makes jokes sometimes? My nigga like, I'd get you MTV if I could, man. And Pitchfork only like rappers who crazy your hood, man. So I guess we gon' see. I ain't currency, but if there ain't money in my name, please murder me. Sometimes I feel like I ain't supposed to be here. Sometimes I wake up and I don't wanna be here. My mom loves to text me song verses. She don't look at me like I'm the same person. I used to be the sweet one. Things change and I don't want them missing the son like Bone's last name. And all my uncles alcoholics, shame on me. I drink whiskey till I'm grounded, no TV. I wanna go inside the club with no gold piece and walk in with no ID and no ID. No matter how far the hood seems, we all still got hood dreams. I always wanted to get picked on the cool team, but alone is exactly how I should be.
Radio presents Ian Molesworth, KSI and Randolph. Are you there, KSI?
Yo, what's up?
So, why are you having fights with people?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got to show that I'm the best boxing YouTuber on YouTube.
What is happening in Brixton?
We got a show. We got like our, you know, London show.
And what happens in that? Is that all singing and rapping, or is that a bit of fighting and all chucked in for good fun?
I mean, if you punch me, nothing would happen. Now. I'd just be like, did a fly hit me, or I don't know.
Look at this. I reckon if I keep pushing their buttons in the right way, they'll start fighting each other right now. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? We're joined by Katie Manning now in the studio. You nearly fell off your chair.
I'm very physical. Good. Do you know what I mean? I get very excited. Yeah. And for a woman of my age, that's quite scary.
How old are you? 38-ish?
Oh, you're darling.
Around 38.
I could be your grandma, darling, because I'm 72.
Why could you not be my girlfriend?
Yeah, do you not want to be...
Do you like an older woman, darling?
I like anyone.
Who says yes?
Yeah. No, I'm like, I wouldn't have any...
I just missed my mouth then. That was maybe you should not have me.
That's a good point, actually, isn't it? Phaser is now sat opposite me.
We're all puppets, but I like to pull my own strings.
Yeah, no, I don't think we are all puppets, though.
In the entertainment, you know, like...
Do you really think that?
Punch and Judy type thing.
Do you think? I'm not a puppet.
You can be your own puppet.
I'm not a puppet.
You're not a puppet.
What are you? You are actually a puppet. We had a guest who's been made into a puppet. He has actually been made into a puppet,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm...
It wasn't like a voodoo puppet or nothing like that.
Yeah, I have a big collection of voodoo dolls at home.
No.
And really, I've been pulling up your teeth recently in them, and you have been going to the dentist. So
I wouldn't be surprised if you did have... That actually wouldn't shock me. We're joined now by Alex Fox.
I'm not a fan of 50 Shades. Those books are not well loved by many people on the responsible fetish community scene because they depict in many ways a problematic dynamic. Least exciting erotic series that I've seen in a while. I virtually fell asleep watching those films. But
that can
also
happen after a wank.
True. If I'm late for anything, it's usually had a wank, falling asleep. A fap and a nap, as I like to call it.
Every Monday, Ian Molesworth from 4 p.m.
You're listening to Foo Bar Radio.
Foo Bar Radio. Foo Bar Radio. Foo Bar Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Big surprise, Johnny Vegas is in the studio. According to this, rugby and bowls chat.
Yeah, that's what you're here for.
That's what you're here for, mate. When was the last time that you did any ceramics?
I had Mick the Brick round the other week, measuring off. It's a real name. Mick the Brick was round, measuring off.
That's what he calls his clay.
No, what do you mean?
It's going to be one day.
You got a pottery world.
I'm going to fondle you into something useful. Bird, bird, ring A&E. My penis looks like a mug. No, it's honestly, I'm taking my tin shed down and I'm building an outhouse for my kiln. But my kiln
is the kiln the thing from Ghost, where they're sitting around
A kiln's what you cook the clay in.
If it jumped into a kiln, it would be a bit more. It wouldn't be quite the love story.
This isn't the question I asked you.
It'd be on charge. Oh, my God!
The question I asked you was, when was the last time you did any ceramics?
About a year ago, and it was at Richmond College.
Then that's not acceptable, is it?
No, but then when do I get the time here? But when I go in to get my teeth done, that's the two things I'm doing. I'm buying a fishing rod, and I'm getting back into my ceramic.
Not what you tell me. You tell me you're getting a fishing rod and a notebook is what you tell me. So you've changed that story since then.
No, right, but I'll do something. Hey, man cannot live by pen lead alone.
That's true.
Pencil
lead. That's quite a poignant moment,
wasn't
it?
Quite nice, yeah.
When my pencil have no lead, get me to a pottery.
Out comes Mick the Brick.
Mick the Brick?
He's a real bloke.
I know that.
Yeah. Why do you call him the Brick?
Mick the Brick.
He's a builder.
He makes walls.
Okay. Right, okay, sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
He's not like a tattooed hitman.
Would we say that's a northern thing, that to actually cook? Because I remember Jimmy Savile had his mate called Jim the Pill, who was a chemist.
Well, that takes a different tone now.
I know that from the news documentary. But I think that's a northern thing.
Oh, what to call
that's
him?
That's a bit of arrested development, isn't it?
Somebody the something.
Just treat yourself to one of them, forget me not. No, Mick the Brick came round, he's measured up. I didn't build a metal shed. I got obviously somebody to build the metal shed, and it nearly drove this lad to verging on a breakdown because I think it comes with something like 3,000 rivets.
Right.
And it's absolutely crap. The door, you could fall through it like a scuba doo cat. It doesn't safeguard anything whatsoever. Yeah, I need to make space for my kiln.
I don't say this with any degree of criticism whatsoever. Don't squeeze your eyes at me.
I didn't.
Squeeze your eyes.
What would you call that?
Squint
thing. As if he was suspicious.
I prefer don't squeeze your eyes.
Yes, so do I.
That sounds like a difficult B-side to a Michael Bolton. Don't squeeze your eyes at me.
Were you
don't narrow them down. Don't make your eyes look smaller. I enter the room, don't squeeze your eyes.
I think we can put that on the playlist today, actually.
Were you at home when this lad with the rivets was trying to build the thing? Were you there?
I made a point of not being there. You kind of go out and you go, because anything I can do is 12.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't really want him to say yes to you.
I've done some Lego once. Yeah. I'll give it a crack. When was the last time you did any Lego?
We sort of touched on this. I have a massive Lego project waiting to happen, but I'm not sure what to do with it. I've got the ultimate collector's version of, you know, the Millennium Falcon.
But you know what? Just before you say this, keep forgetting this show's live.
It's happening now.
Right, so I'm going to put this out to Twitter, genuinely, to whoever's listening, if anyone's listening, at FUBAR Radio. So I'm going to let you tell your version of events, and then we can put it out to Twitter to see what the general consensus is. Because when you and I chat about this, there is a degree of going, well, I think, and we fluctuate. So it'd be interesting to see what the people actually think of the decision you've thus far made.
Yeah, I know, but in that debate, before you put it out to Twitter,
it's already out to Twitter now, isn't it?
You are both undeniably better at time management. This morning, I lost 20 minutes thinking, what would I do if an ostrich came in the game? Right. And that's 20 minutes I'm never getting back.
But what's stopping you doing that when you're building Lego?
Because I just drift into these.
But you can still think that. You can still do that whilst your hands are.
It's difficult though, because you're
just striking your chin.
What person would build Lego while there's an ostrich in the garden?
No, I'm saying, but you could think of what would I do?
I would at least text local zoos.
First off, there's not going to be a fucking ostrich in your garden, full stop. But
Ian? It's not like an everyday.
I'm saying
it just came out of nowhere.
But you can have the musing about what would I do if it happened whilst also building Lego at the same time.
Yeah, but I wasn't musing. It wasn't like, wouldn't it be nice to have an ostrich in the garden? I just went, what would I do if an ostrich come in the garden?
And what would you do? Yeah. What would you do?
My first thing it was, I'd try and bring it down.
With your bare hands?
My shoulders. My upper body strength and some laces. Then I thought maybe I'd tie two trainers together and do a...
You know, go for the ankle.
That would hurt it. That would hurt it.
Bring it down. That's like a nut.
Yeah.
So you didn't come to
and
a consensus.
And then I had a very dark thought of if I did manage to capture it, whose neighbour's garden would I let it free in? Why must I get stuck with this bloody ostrich?
Okay, well, it was a good diversionary tactic, but I'm going to bring you back on track. Okay. So the point of this was.
No, I'm just saying that's time management. So you get on with things, whereas I sit.
Yeah.
Well, I can't speak for now, but I still think.
I mean, I definitely do on occasion too. I have the odd occasion.
We all genetically.
I don't pause thinking.
I do. I can't think and move.
Well, there's your excuse in place.
It's what me. No, it's not an excuse.
Well, take us through this Lego story then. Take us through what you
want to
say.
What do you want me to do? What do think mean? About what would I do if there was notches in the garden? Oh, I must run upstairs and fluff some pillars.
You don't have to look at the garden while you're thinking about what would it do if there's an
do.
Ostrich. Why?
Because I'm a very visual person.
But you've been in your garden before.
Loads of times.
Well, so you know what the layout
is. Not with
is.
An ostrich.
You're talking about it now as if it's a scenario, but we're not in your garden now, are we?
But if you had an ostrich, you'd just get out of the garden, wouldn't you? I'd run in the house and lock. Say, I wouldn't be involved in myself.
You're not
with
thinking
the garden.
Vegas.
That's true. What would you swing around some trainers and hit it with that instead?
Yeah, but it's not an invite to burglars. I've got really piss poor French doors.
I've been in your house and they're not piss poor
no,
French
doors. No, because the burglars come, they know that I'm in there, and if I'm mistaken for an ostrich, that's what I get off on for hitting them with a bat.
Your place.
There was an ostrich in one. I just thought that today.
Fubar Radio presents Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
This is our special guest co-host, Terry Walker.
Hey! We got gorgeous in the building. Hey, gorgeous in the building. Hey!
That perfect sounding person that you hear on the fourth mic is. Bree Runway.
Thank you very, very much.
You're of Ghanaian descent.
Yes,
you,
I am. So what image to love is better? Is this an argument that's going to start?
Do you know what? You guys' rice is not good.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We've got two epic beard men, and that's both their description and their rap, the name of their like super duo.
Yeah.
Sage Francis and B Dolan.
What up, what up?
Hey.
Massive pleasure to have you both in. We were sort of talking about Marcel's salt and pepper t-shirt earlier on, and you were saying you were
it just brings me right back, because that's when I first got started in all this hip hop stuff as a kid, and just being enamored with that culture and trying to learn it. And now I look at that and I'm like, whoa, it's been a long time since then. And we're basically the salt and pepper of 2019.
Here
we are in London as the epic beard man. We're basically the salt and pepper of 2019.
Nice.
With beards.
Well, you've got the salt and pepper beard.
I do.
That's what it's called, isn't it? You've got the salt and pepper. But yours is coming.
I'm more solid.
I'm trying to grow it out. I'm trying to really show my age.
So why? What made you decide to cave into this pressure and form the Epic Beardmen?
Well, Sage started putting out my records in 2008. He brought me on the road in 2005. He had been doing this a little longer than I had, and put me on to a lot of games, showed me circuits and markets, and brought me all over the world.
So the fact that we had toured since then, always together, and he would be the opener and I would be the headliner. I was like, after a while, it felt wrong.
Almost unofficially,
yeah, like,
you do.
We need to do this together, not just...
We had both done like solo runs separately. There was a big opening in our schedule. We were like, now's the time. If we're going to do this, let's try it.
Yeah.
And that was 3 years ago. So we started working on this collection of songs that we are bringing out now. We released the EP last year and an LP.
And since we had toured together so often that we knew the stage show was going to be live anyway, so we're like, let's do all different types of songs that we don't normally do with our solo projects and just fill in different gaps that we don't typically get to. And that was how the whole Epic Beard Men thing came about and why we pursued it.
Fair play. Who are your influences, B?
Scarface. Scarface was the one, that made me want to be a rapper.
His voice.
Yeah, the diary.
It's amazing.
That record was the one that I was about 12 years old. It was like 92. An older cousin had it.
Yeah.
And I heard... just some of the stuff he would say was so real in between. It was like he had gangster stories, but then he would just say, like, because life has no meaning.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit. Oh, my God, yes.
He was philosophical. He was vulnerable. Yeah, yeah. He wasn't grabbing.
But as a 12-year-old, I was like, no other music is like this.
Uh-huh.
Tried to make it happen. Came back at different times again and met in Providence in 2002.
Okay. Put it on the map.
Yeah.
Are there any other big MCs from Providence? I hear the name a lot, and I can't remember why, but maybe in, like, the media, maybe in, like, film and
stuff. We've had a lot of bands, and we have a lot of colleges. There's a big college called the Rhode Island School of Design, where, like, the Talking Heads met, and...
And they are doing a lot of movies in Rhode Island.
But
the Family Guys...
That's basically... That's not the Talking Heads.
I was trying to say other things first, but I knew it was Family Guy you were getting at.
Love Family Guy.
Are you Family Guy fans? Do you ever kind of watch it and relate to anything?
I feel like Peter Griffin Julian was exactly based on my father. Really, like, it's a lot of similarities. I'm like, okay, they're kind of like peeping in on my life and trying to make a joke of me.
Yeah. So your dad's worst enemy is a chicken also.
Well, yeah, fun. Like fried chicken. Very, very large.
What are the other plans now that you're in London? Is there how many times is it for both of you in London?
Over 30 times.
Yeah. Like, do you even bother seeing shit anymore, or do you just?
I've only done the touristy thing maybe twice in my life. London Eye bullshit. Like, it's like the biggest tourist trap in the world.
It is a big. It's expensive as hell.
But no, like, shout out to one of the times I did get to experience London is when Sarah Coleman, Inky Mole, did a art exhibit based on my music in London.
Oh, wow.
So I got to come out here and actually chill and experience that, and then go around. Like, shout out to her. I know she's listening right now.
How does that feel when your music, which, you know, hip hop is kind of deemed, you know, music of the working class, is not seen as sophisticated as, you know, classical genres. How do you feel when your music sort of pervades other cultures?
I don't know how to feel about it. I feel honored when people give the accolades, but also I did come up in an era where I know it was constantly bashed and talked down about, and I still see that.
Yeah.
So the fact that some people will, you know, what about all the people who inspired me who just were consistently trashed on? So I always want to big them up, and
I hear that. I respect that very, very highly. But the reason you're both in the UK is because obviously there's a tour coming up. Starts today.
Yesterday in Southampton, sold out show. Jazz tonight Cafe. Jazz Cafe.
Have you played Jazz Cafe before? You have, haven't you?
I played the Jazz Cafe with the Church of Love and Ruin, which was a tour. The first time I headlined out here, we had like a 16-piece marching band. Amazing. And a bounce MC from New Orleans. And we had like 27 people on tour the first time I headlined.
Wow.
That sounds amazing. You'd only have to sell shrimp on the merch stand. That sounds incredible, man. The marching band by itself, the kind of sound of that. That's pretty.
We slept in a venue in Birmingham. We couldn't sleep in hotels. This venue in Birmingham just cleared out space for us. Fans brought air mattresses.
Nice.
We used Birmingham as like a central hub and then played a bunch of cities and went to Bestival. And we arrived at Bestival. Stevie Wonder was headlining and we had more people than Stevie.
Yes, fair play. Fair play. But throughout August, you're over here. You head up to, what's the cook?
Leicester. That's the cookie.
Oh, is that the cookie? Right, okay. Yeah. That's in Leicester. Then on to Nottingham, Bristol, Birmingham, Guildford, Brighton, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Newcastle, Leeds, and then Manchester.
Manchester's a good city to finish off.
It's a vibey city. So you're kind of zigzagging, aren't you? You're going up north, coming back down for a bit.
We're playing six shows in a row, then we have a day off, then another six shows in a row, and then it's the last tour for us for the whole year. And for the foreseeable future, because we're going to go back into our own solo endeavors.
Yeah, of course.
Give the Epic Beer Men a rest for a while. Mm-hmm. See, at some point, if we live long
marinate,
enough,
isn't it?
To make this happen again.
Let that shit marinate, isn't it? You know what I mean? People have wanted it for so long.
We just
long.
Dedicated 3 years of our life to it, if not more. But
can't just be a flash in the pan.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
My show's on deck because I really wish well. When I heard your name, still doesn't ring bells. This is rough and I don't mean cash money. My songs make sure that I feel well. Don't tolerate nobody talking to me. You know better know yourself. Move in silence, you can't watch me. Shut down the shows that the time will tell.
Flow.
Figure this out. Return life, better sort things out. Love my sound, got the shit right here. Really saved my life and it sounds like crack. I don't care who you think is next. These days, everybody wanna be next. Find my space outside of Earth with mud selector causing hell.
Yes, I showed the gang cause I brought them here. What's here do I need to fear? Put my life on the line cause I told myself I'ma do this shit till I'm dead. They call me the plug at the end. Somehow I still find a way to pretend. Humble self, but I gotta spend some wealth on the way they can own me well. Yes, I showed the gang cause I brought them here. What's here do I need to fear? Put my life on the line cause I told myself I'ma do this shit till I'm dead. They call me the plug at the end. Somehow I still find a way to pretend. Humble self, but I gotta spend some wealth on the way they can own me well. For my money that's dead. Where was you when I really need help? Now Flo got cheese and the baby got bread. Send my voice to Berlin, let the kid get hurt. Oh, you scared? Yeah, I've been there. If I never went first, then I wouldn't be here. I can't trust you, man. You don't write for mine. If I put hands out, you might pull that out. Flo, watch out, man. So I get love back. That's the emoji with a green heart. See the spark in my eyes, still blazing around. In my town, they be calling me the I'm just trying to put it down. When my daddy been around, who else do I turn to now? Everybody wanna get that money really quick, but nobody checking for phone. I don't like much much crowds when I'm not at more time. I just pen more pad, turn this bus to sign. Get mom a brand new house, build up plan. You know the future look bright. Yes, I show for the gang, cause I brought them here. Most hair do I need to fear? Put my life on the line, cause I told myself I'ma do this shit till I'm dead. They call me the plug at the end. Somehow I still find a way to pretend. Humble self, but I gotta stack some wealth on the way they can know me well. Yes, I show for the gang, cause I brought them here. Most hair do I need to fear? Put my life on the line, cause I told myself I'ma do this shit till I'm dead. They call me the plug at the end. Somehow I still find a way to pretend. Humble self, but I gotta stack some wealth on the way they can know me well. Low, low.
Who else? You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.